All right.
I always have to say all right when I start these things. But we're recording. Reckoning Podcast, interview time with John Carney. How you doing, John?
I'm good. All right. I still think you sound better than me, but we'll you can edit that later.
That's fine. Right. Oh, yeah. My editing process doesn't exist. So, we are at a... This is not obviously an abandoned property, but goddamn if it... Is there something about rehearsal spaces that have to look like you're in a place that should not be occupied by humans?
We just dealt with a homeless man.
Yeah.
I thought he stole equipment from me, so I just bought it back from him. Come to find it, now I have two of them.
Leaf blower. So what? This is a rehearsal space. In general.
We're in 76110 off Lipscomb. Okay. This is what Kevin Aldridge calls Bojo. Bob Jones building.
Ah, the giant sign, yes.
So if you remember during COVID, we would do all our streaming stuff. We'd do it from here.
Oh, okay.
So we had to close down the bar, but this is where we would come. So, yes, this is a warehouse that a buddy of mine was renting, and you're going to know all these guys. Aldridge, Hotel Satellite, Sean Russell, Cutthroat, obviously the Candidates. One of my bands, Daybreak, we rehearse here. Chastity, we just got done. Sorry about the delay on
No, it's all good.
But this is kind of what we do. And Brent, my son, he does all his recording in that control room. We took advantage of the space.
Nice.
We built it all during COVID.
I've kind of wondered where all the bands in this area practice.
Yeah.
I never even venture around this area. Because it's just, I stick to like Magnolia North. Mm-hmm. So,
did you lock your car, by the way? No, I locked the gate. We're fine.
Oh, that's fine. It's nothing of value in there to steal, anyways.
Yeah, I normally leave my car open, just break the windows, steal my shitty CDs. Oh, can I say shitty on your
podcast? Yeah, you can cuss.
Oh, there we go. All right. No, game on. Let's see.
I'll raise the bar higher. Cunt. See, it doesn't matter. Like, I'm hoping this thing gets double digit downloads. That's all. It's still in the. Earlier phase of the embryonic phase of the podcast.
You said cunt in my, I just spit Coca-Cola out of my nose. Yeah.
Already with the spit takes.
There we go.
So your band Chastity.
Yeah.
I want to start by saying you're like a hair metal-y kind of band.
We're absolutely a hair metal band.
Sweet.
We're original hair metal.
Okay.
I mean,
explain.
So formed in 87.
Gotcha. Okay. Hell yeah.
Be honest with you. I was 13 years old in 87. So yeah, they formed in 87, and the boys are a little older than me. Not much. I mean, the difference between 13 and 17.
But they call you kid.
Yeah. Funny enough, our drummer James, he's the one they call the kid.
Oh, okay.
And he's 6 months older than I am. But it's original hair metal music. It's amazing. You're on Spotify. We're on Spotify. Mm. Look up Chastity if you're a fan of the 80s hair metal thing. That's what we do. We do original songs. We throw in some covers. You can see our set list here. It's fun. And I play bass in that band. And there's nothing more fun than playing bass in a hair metal band because you don't have to be good to do it.
I've had my history with rip it on bass players. Me and Chris Donnelly.
Love
thanks,
Chris.
Thanks to Facebook Love memories, Donnelly. I got to peg the year that me and him, jokingly, it was just fun between us online of me making fun of him being a bass player and him making fun of me being a comic.
Mm-hmm.
And talking to Donnelly at a certain points, people thought like we really had beef. I'm like, no. And it was like, because we're making fun of each other. But it wasn't that mean. But some people were just like, hey, what, you and this Brian guy, like, what's going on? And he was
what's the deal there, man?
It's like, not. We're just fucking around. Yeah. Like, of course. Okay. Is all good. But yeah, the bass player. Is that primarily what you play? Or you also. No, because in Daybreak, you play guitar.
I play guitar. Okay. But I'm awful at all of it. Look, when you're not any good at these things, it's incredibly hard work, man. You know? And these guys are just, they're just naturals.
Mm.
And they show up and they jam and they just. Blah, 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 and I'm like, well, hold on now. Boom, what?
Boom.
Yeah.
Hold on. Can you play slower?
No, it I mean, it's fun. Look, man, look. I got to be honest with you. I turned 50 in February. I'm just doing shit to try to keep myself alive,
Hell yeah.
You know? Yeah. I mean, and it's like at the end of this rehearsal, which was 5 hours long, I'm like, I'm exhausted. Damn. Can we fucking go home?
Yeah.
And they love it. And I'm just like, now it becomes a job. Not that it's a job. I love doing this. I really do. And you get to hang out with new, different people. I don't hang out with these guys in the pub or anything, but I get to see them every other Saturday when we rehearse, and we get to talk about old school shit, you know. And we were just talking about how the Rock Me Tonight video by Billy Squire totally fucking ruined his career. You know, these things I didn't know. I was like, oh, okay, you know.
You're not going to get too many of those in-depth conversations in the chat or something like that.
But in the end, they're a little bit older than me, and I learn every time we rehearse, I learn something new about life or music or, you know, whatever. So
what was the extent of, like, did they tour, like, extensively or somewhat? Or
they mention El Paso a lot for some reason. But you know,
farther west than I've been.
What's funny is, you know, we Jerry, our sound man, you remember him from Eagle Audio? We lost him a couple of years
ago.
But even that connection is there, you know? They played at Savvy's and all these 80s, these clubs. And again, just the conversation. It's so healthy. You learn so much, you know? You know, my grandmother's 99, and every time I speak to her, I learn something new. I'm like, yeah, it's amazing. Nice. It's fucking amazing. Just I don't know.
Have you how long you been like playing in bands to any degree?
I think
kind of just been a thing about your life.
Yeah, I've never been good. You know, I think I picked up my first guitar at 12. I think I think I got a Kramer Striker for Christmas or some shit, and tried. And I've had some friends who were musicians, and you know, we kind of did the garage band growing up. Higgs is one of them, obviously. Okay, you know, my lifelong BFF. And we just kind of did it. And but I didn't realize how bad I was until I gave my kid a guitar at 10. And by 12, he was already better than everybody we knew, you know. So, yeah.
But you had, like, let me guess. Did Brent have, like, a leg up because you have musician buddies? And was he around?
You know, my wife Meg, her dad Jim was a musician. Maybe it's a gene thing. I don't know.
Okay.
No, he took off.
Yeah.
Like above and beyond myself or most of my friends. So maybe that's what I have no idea. I don't know.
My Jesse Gage.
Sure.
He played in War Party a little bit.
Of course. Yeah.
So he his older brother Philip, me and him became best friends in high school. So, and he was like a de facto little brother to me. He would learn guitar from him and our friend Mike. And then he would just pick up an instrument. And a week or two later, he's very, I wouldn't say proficient, but he knew how to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just, he was also became like their drummer in like this little three-piece punk band.
Yeah, fuck those guys, man.
Yeah, right?
That's so frustrating. Fuck that. Yes.
Fuck them. Oh.
Like I said.
I've had two guitar lessons. I was just like, ew, no, I'm done. That was $40 wasted.
Oh man, no, it's incredibly hard when you're not any good. But I mean,
that's why I started telling jokes on stage. I was like, wait, I got to do something different than what my buddies are doing. So my buddy Andrew went on to form this decently popular like post rock or post punk band, Parquet Courts. And you bring that up around Cameron Smith, and his eyes just dilate.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he grows a half boner because when I first got to drop that, I'm like, yeah, my buddy Andrew Savage, Parquet Courts. And when people know, then I'm like, yeah, we went to high school together. And they're like, what? I'm like, yeah, he's the same awesome, awkward dude to this day. So it's the one claim to fame.
I love how you've already brought, you know, you brought up Chris Donnelly. We've talked about Ryan Higgs. We've talked about Cameron. I love how we're just going to throw out names that we all know, that we've known forever, you know? Super talented individuals. I love this.
Except Chris. He just is just a bass player.
Yeah, fuck that guy. So, just a bass player.
Mohawk, he doesn't even rock up. Okay.
He's older than you think.
I know, right? I didn't realize he had a kid till like a couple years ago.
I thought he was 28.
Yeah,
he's like fucking 48, I think. I don't know. I don't know.
Rock and roll, young at heart, man. So, are you like a Fort Worth guy, like from the beginning?
Yeah. So,
TCU sweatshirt, you know, not excluded.
We'll talk about it. All right. So okay. I'm not to go dark, but I turned 50 on February 15th. That was a Wednesday. I lost my dad on Saturday the 18th. But not to bring your podcast down. So the sweater was my dad's.
It's
just a cool little thing. And yeah, he was a fan. Yeah. No, he used to take us to football games in the, we were so broke. These were the Jim Wacker days in the 80s. And he would sneak us in at halftime.
Mm.
It was fun. Fort Worth guy. Yeah, so dad went to college in Denton. It was called North Texas University back then.
Okay.
And his first job out of college, degree in, I think his bachelor's was in biology. Microbiology was next, and then his PhD in toxicology. But his first job out of college was Alcon.
Okay.
Which is Fort Worth. I mean, Alcon in Fort Worth is as big as Lockheed Martin in Fort Worth or Miller Brewery in Fort Worth.
Yeah.
So that was the first job, and that's what brought us to Fort Worth.
Okay.
So I was born in Denton, and boom, Fort Worth. And sometimes you just end up somewhere, you know? Yeah. So, does that answer your question?
Yeah, because you've just been, like, this Fort Worth guy since I've, like, so, and I just assume you're very Fort Worth established, like, from my point of view, because when I first met you, I was probably as, what, like, one of the owners of the chat room, is that correct, or a proprietor?
Let's go ahead and throw this out there. So quite simply, the chat room has been an S corporation since day one.
Okay.
September of 2001. God, that's...
And this was back when I hear there was like two bars on Magnolia Street or something like that. You could skateboard down the street. That's what I hear.
Absolutely. It was...
The kids used to do.
What I remember about Magnolia in 2001 was Benito's.
Oh, okay.
Still BJ Kiefer's. Is that... Did I say that right? Are you familiar with this?
No.
It's
cool name.
What is the shitty Mexican restaurant that always gets the write-ups? Right next to the Owl.
Not Tawaka.
We're on it. We're close.
I think
that used to be BJ.
Okay.
Maybe I'm getting that wrong. It doesn't matter.
Toucan. No. Tuca can. Shit. We're so close.
What are we doing?
Tawaka can. It's something like that.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Don't go there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was Benito's. Spiral came in at the same time.
Okay, wow.
And when I remember looking Spiral going, look, if they're gonna make it, we're gonna make it. Everything's gonna be fine. So yeah, that was a long time ago. And shady as shit, of course, yeah. I mean it still is. I mean
Tuca can.
You know what's gonna happen. We're gonna wake up.
I'm gonna hit stop at the end of the Toucan, right? No.
No.
It's not
Yucatan.
Yucatan. We're so close.
You know what I thought of?
We're Mercury orbiting that shit.
I thought of dinosaurs. I'm like, where did the dinosaurs die? Where did the Yucatan Peninsula? That's where it was.
Okay, there you go.
Am I right on that one?
That's where.
Anyway, yeah, so chat room. To answer your question. So my wife, Meg, has been the owner of the chat room since day one.
Oh, gotcha.
No. Okay. We've had managers, and there's been some profit sharing. Hey, look, if we do good, then we'll give you a bonus, that kind of thing. But in the end, Meg has owned it since day one.
Oh, okay.
Old guys come in when they can do the research. They're like, oh, yeah, you guys acting like you own this place. And it's the girl over here. Like, yeah, it's the girl. Mm. She's the one that runs the whole place. Yeah, we get a lot of people who ask, you know, aren't there any girls working here? And Meg and I are like, well, the owner's a woman. Both of our accountants are women. All four of our attorneys are women. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Just because they're not behind the bar doesn't mean there aren't women involved.
These are people
that
think the bartenders also are the attorneys and the accountants.
Exactly.
And the owners. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Fort Worth.
Obviously, with more to that. So, what's funny is I was there like couple months ago and some guy was being a piece of shit to Abed and Meg happened to be there.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, can I help? I'm the owner. And, and so I didn't know if there's like a group or something. That's even funnier because it's like, yep, here's the owner. What issue do you have? Mm-hmm. Because he didn't want to serve the guy. He was being very responsible. Mm-hmm. Abed's great.
Yeah.
Obed.
Obed.
I always want to say Abed. thank you, community, at the show. And, but oh, that's even funnier. So that's where I first got to know you, just because the chat room was
of
just...
Of course, yeah.
Back in, especially when my job had me coming around, popping in, slinging coupons. And always just a fun... I get why the place is called Chat Room. One, you still have the computers there. I respect
Should
that.
Should we remove them?
What are people... What else are you going to put there? They're on a ledge, and they've got three of them there.
Yeah,
and I guess as long as people need to do some...
It seems kind of dumb now.
It's called the chat
20
room.
Years
Once
later...
Once you change the name, keep the computers. As sure. long as it's not too much of a drain on your electric bill.
But Brian, remember this. 20 years ago, we didn't all have computers in our pockets, you
know?
Oh, I know.
And my high school across the street was a computer cafe.
Sure.
Where they sold energy drinks and sodas, and kids played Counter-Strike on those computers.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it makes sense to me. I'm 38, so when I... If I walked to the chat room for the first time today, I just asked it's just kind of like, this doesn't make sense. First of all, it should make some kind of sense. Chat room. Okay. And then I look. But that's also where people went on the internet, a computer that they couldn't afford at home, to maybe do some online chatting or some video game
high
playing.
Speed. I mean, we were fucking 55K modems. I'm kidding.
Is that what y'all still running?
No, dude.
I remember.
Seriously,
we had 56K growing up.
What did I say? 55? 56, of course.
It went
12, 24, 36, 50. I don't know.
As far as it was 28.8, then 56.
No, you
before that, I don't know.
Your memory's better than mine.
And then DSL
I'm
came along.
I'm 50 now, man.
And we eventually got that.
Yeah.
And then T1 lines were for high-end offices and schools.
Yep. That was the thing. So that was kind of a cool thing. Hey, high speed internet, come download some shit. Oh, we got so many letters too. Hey, from Disney and Sony, because people were downloading inappropriate stuff. Inappropriate as like copyrighted material,
yeah,
like movies. Yep.
Yeah. What, and putting it like on a flash drive or a CD or something? Or no, you probably didn't have CD like writer drives.
I know we didn't even have. Dude, I think the first computers had floppy drives on them.
Were they just downloading movies for that computer so they could just watch it then and there?
I don't know.
That's funny,
know?
Though, just getting a letter. Oh, cool. They want to shoot a movie in here. Oh, no, it's a cease and desist.
Yep.
There's some lawyers on the way. We better lawyer up, too. And that's why you have the lawyers.
That's why we have the lawyers. That's why all five of them, they're all women.
The chat room's been kicking for 22 years now.
22 years, yeah. So September will be 22, I guess.
And it's just I call it a bar-ass bar, man. That's what I like. That's what I like about some bars. It's like, this is what we are, and we're not more than that. We don't want to be.
You know,
bars can just be that.
Absolutely, and we've got the usual as well. But in the end, I think the chat's just a dive bar.
Yeah.
You know?
Which are great.
It's a dive bar, and what I love about it is the patrons will handle up on... the healthiness of the business. Meaning, let me tell you what I mean by that.
Okay.
If you're in there and somebody, some shitbag comes in and everybody at the bar knows it, you and the rest of the patrons are going to kind of handle up on that in your own unique
kinda
way.
Like a little built-in security.
Absolutely.
Of some kind. Yeah.
Absolutely. And this person, this shitbag that walks in, they're going to recognize real fast that they're not welcome here.
Yeah.
You know, I mean... So I'm pretty happy about that. You know, I really like what the place has become. Obviously, you and I wouldn't be friends without it, you know. You meet so many great people. And, you know, I still think the neighborhood's kind of scared of it. You know, there's no windows. And, you know, they don't know what's going on in there. Who knows what they think. But what I love about it is I think everybody thinks it's like, oh, just a bunch of alcoholics. It's not it, man. It's the social aspect, you know. Mm-hmm. Everybody shows up, we put away our phones, we put them in our pocket, and we just have conversations.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what I love about the place.
That's what I love about my favorite times at bars where,
of course,
you don't realize, especially these days, like, I haven't looked at my phone in so long.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm just having fun. Like, of course, the TV's on, but that's, you know, been at bars for...
Well, we always got to have the random baseball game going in the background. Yeah. What do you think? Rangers going to be good this year?
I was even thinking today, I post plenty on social media about the Rangers. I'm even thinking this isn't a Rangers podcast, but I want to do I've been biting the bullet, and I've done two so far of doing solo episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I think my next one's going to be a rundown of the Rangers before the season starts.
Why not?
Because I'm like, I don't, in my day to day, I don't meet too many people that could really bro down on some baseball talk. I know my baseball super fans, like, mm-hmm. you know, possibly you. Not,
nope.
Okay, there you go.
But go on.
Jason.
Sure.
Easy.
Yes.
And so I'm like, but there's so many, like, this is what I want to talk about. And if I don't know exactly where this person is at some point in time, can't get them down on a podcast. And I'm going to do a solo episode about the Rangers, you know, before the opening day.
Well, I need that. So what's interesting about me is the older I've gotten, the less I've.
And maybe some people that are like Rangers. You know, I messaged and it's probably going to be hard now, but I messaged and wanted to at some point. I messaged Levi Weaver, who writes for the Rangers for the Athletic.
Oh, cool.
And he's a guy that also has, like, he was a musician.
Really?
Like, he did some singer-songwriter stuff, but there's probably a chance he played in, like, punk or metal bands, because mm-hmm. he went to this one fest in Alabama with all these, like, he's posted about going, and he was like, I'm going to go revisit my past. And I was like, it's all these, like, punk, hardcore metal bands that I still listen to. And I was just like, okay, one, I already like this guy because he writes for the Rangers. And I knew he did some singer-songwriter stuff. And so I was messaging him. At some point, fingers crossed, I can actually interview him.
You know, Eric Nadel is a big music guy too. Now, not a musician, I don't think.
Oh, no. So many times, sports radio, I know a lot of people are about the ticket. The only reason I slightly lean 105.3 is because they're the home of the Rangers. Mm-hmm. And Eric Nadel will come on mm-hmm. and when he talks about the Rangers, at the end, he'll give his music recommendations, which I'm just like, and I've always just loved that about him. He's not just a Hall of Fame broadcaster.
Is it?
He's also loved, and Sam Anderson told me this time about they played in Arizona around spring training, and Eric Nadel hit them up.
Of course.
And he was like, went and saw them play, and they hung out afterwards. I was like, that is awesome. I'm super jealous.
I would cream my pants if Eric Nadel came to a show, right?
He just seems like...
There is something special about... obviously, you're a radio fan. There's something special about play-by-play.
Yes.
You know, because
from baseball to even like Joe Buck.
Of course.
Like, people hate Joe Buck, but his voice reminds me of the playoffs.
Dude, they're so talented. And I grew up listening to Mark Holt and Eric Nadel. Mm. And you just learn so much. I mean, there's something about... Because when I was a kid, I delivered pizzas. Like we all probably did.
Oh, done it too.
But no, of course. Yeah. I mean, WBAP and I think they were on WBAP.
Oh, yeah.
You know, before.
Yeah.
I think they moved to KRLD at some point, and then they moved somewhere else. But no, Mark Holt and Eric Nadel, my heroes, man. Just the way they can describe the game.
It's, painting a picture with words.
Oh.
What the temperature is, where the wind's coming.
You know, I just...
How tightly...
Oh, of course.
The shirt's tucked in to the pitch.
Yes, yes. There's something so special about
that. If I could find a way, because there's a slight delay of the FM feed or radio signal to satellite TV, if there's a way that I could just delay radio, figure out what the delay is, I don't know, six, seven seconds, mm-hmm. whatever, and get that, like, and then pump it through the chat room.
Absolutely.
And that way, because I don't mind the TV guys, but the radio is just so much better. Mm-hmm. And if I could do that and mm-hmm. watch the game and hear them, mm-hmm. oh, that would just be baseball heaven to me. And I love baseball, but I kind of like watching it better on TV than watching it live because I can hear what these guys are talking about.
Well,
I can hear these stats. So the stats of this hitter with this particular pitcher in the past.
I would bring my little portable radio back.
My dad
when I
did
would
that at
go
games.
To Arlington Stadium. Yes. I would bring with my headphones because there is nothing. I mean, again, and you know, I recently lost my play-by-play guy for the Vaqueros because you know I work with them and I'm streaming their home games. We were doing it through Facebook and 11 Sports, and I think next year we're going to go to YouTube. But it's just amazing. And I was just the shitty color commentary guy who knows a little bit about soccer, but was basically playing grab ass with this this guy that is so talented. His name is Scott Wegener, and he was from Wisconsin, and he recently moved back. But he was brilliant. He was so much fun to work with. Just the way he described it, there is something special. It goes back to our initial conversation about these musicians who can just go, oh, you know, here, this is how you do it. And you're like, whoa, I can't do that.
These guys could watch and talk at the exact same time
about what they're watching. It's amazing. We'd go up in the booth. I mean, we would play in the worst fucking fields ever. These soccer pitches, man. And we would just show up. I'd show up with all this equipment. I'm like, where do you want to do it? You want to do it up on the hill? And he's like, no, I'll do it at field level. I'm like, who could do a soccer match at field level? This is amazing.
How'd you get hooked up with the Vaqueros? Technically, the Fort Worth Vaqueros.
Vaqueros, yeah.
The Fort Worth soccer team of what kind of legitimacy?
Sure, yeah. Here's my joke. Here's my joke.
Okay.
Here's my joke. Meg and I, my beautiful wife, we own 5% of a fourth division American professional soccer team.
Okay, yeah.
Now, obviously, it is what it is. Yeah. It's not that big of a deal, but...
hey, they got a good beer.
They do have a good beer.
I like that beer.
Yes, yeah. How do I get involved? They... I was hearing rumblings that they're bringing this team, and I didn't know anything about leagues and all that, but...
how long ago was this?
2014. This is okay. Our 10th year. Yeah. We're going 10th year. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
But I recognize this gentleman's name. His name is Michael Hitchcock. He's the primary owner of the Fort Worth Vaqueros. This guy was a big deal. He was the general manager of FC Dallas.
Okay.
For a while.
I remember that.
Yeah, right?
I was still around.
But anyway, so the chat room was a sponsor. The usual was a sponsor. And ultimately, I got to know these guys. And Hitch said, would you like to buy into the team? And again, it wasn't much. But it was kind of a big deal being a sports fan.
Yeah, do you accept bar tabs?
but you know, Hicks and I were thinking, we can... own a professional or a piece of it, a minority owner of a professional franchise. So anyway, that's how it happened. Now, I did not realize I was going to buy myself another fucking job because I already had three of them. Now I got, you know, anyway. But no, it's been great. And oh, dude, this thing's taken off 10 years. What minor league sports in Fort Worth last 10 years? The Brahmas didn't. The Cats up and down, you know. Didn't we have the
Cats was baseball. Brahmas was
hockey.
Hockey, okay.
Fort Worth Fire? Was that hockey back in the 90s?
Part of me wants to say soccer for some reason. But again, that is a pure pull out of my ass guess.
But anyway, yeah, it's been fun. Anyway, we're having fun. I mean... who knows?
Where do they play at now?
Sure. Sorry, weird. That was sure. Yeah. the schedule just came out. I don't know off the top of my head, but we're going to be playing two games at TCU.
Okay.
Nice. Where the women play, which is an incredible facility.
I should hope so.
And we're going to play four games at Castleberry High School, which is right in the River Oaks area, just past. What's the big Farrington Field on University? Take a left on White Settlement. Boom, you're right there. So that's what we're going to do. Four games.
Nice.
Four games at Castleberry, two at TCU. Look us up online. I used to be the color commentary. We have a new crew now doing play-by-play and commentary. They're great people. Matt Quinn, Robbie King, Megan Southern. So look us up. Check us out. Tickets are cheap. Come out to the games. It's a fun, fun experience. It really is.
You always been a soccer guy?
Or always. That's always your thing? Yeah, my dad was an athlete. He played a little college football at Austin College, the Kangaroos. But he, being the scientist and the man of science that he is, he recognized real quick that even my grandmother told me that every time dad played American football, he wasn't right for a couple of days, meaning the concussion kind of thing. So I think that kind of played into my dad going into the science thing. And he recognized when we were young, he recognized this new sport that he had never heard of called soccer. Mm. And dude, he even played up, you know, close to his death. So, that's
like, hey, it's good
how
cardio.
We got.
And the worst that could happen is maybe they get a cleat in the shin. They could heal up from that. Oh yeah. Oh,
boom.
Oh, there we go.
Yep, and it won't ever go away. Cleat in the shin, right above the shin guards. I've taken over your... Dude, I feel bad.
No, that's on the list of things. You got things I want to talk about. All right, did the band stuff. But that's the reason I hit you up about this. All right, here, let's go back to bands again for a second. Your son, Brent. I always think his name's somewhat different. Anyways, when you have a name that starts with a B and R, I'm pretty sure he's been misnamed.
Of course.
As much as I have.
Sure.
I even tried to get a joke going, even though it is insanely true and personal. It just hasn't flown the way I wanted to. If your name Brian, you tell people that's your name, and they are like, "Oh, nice to meet you, Brad." And you're like, no, Brian. Oh, Ben? No, yep. Ryan? Yep. And I'm pretty sure he's in the same boat. Mm-hmm. If he just talked, I could do that. He's a quiet guy. I've talked with two other candidates. Mm-hmm. So your son is one of the guitar players in the unlikely candidates. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's weird saying you say candidate, but I want to say candidates. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Anyways,
that's how Kyle says it. I think the singer. That's when he's on stage, he says candidates. It's
really
it's
enunciates the yeah. It's like if I want people to really hear my name, I have to sound like an asshole and say, "Hi, I'm Brian." It's like if you do that immediately, bad first impression.
Who's the who introduced the Foo Fighters? You're gonna know on Saturday Night Live, and he's like Foo Fighters.
Oh no, I haven't heard. Oh.
Who's that guy? We know the guy.
I don't. Actor. There's so many like memes of like, and now the Weeknd.
Sure,
and
yeah, yeah.
Anyways,
Foo Fighters.
So that your son's band, which I know, I know the singer Kyle and Cole mm-hmm. like most. Mm-hmm. I think I met Jared a couple of times, mm-hmm. and then I'm missing the fifth member who Kevin. Okay, yeah, may have talked to him once.
Kevin Goddard, yeah, the drummer. Yeah, yeah. Okay, good see, dude. Yeah. Good yeah. dude. Yep.
When did they kind of form? I know I'm going to talk to some of them at some point on this.
I gotta be honest with you. I mean,
okay, so here, let me reframe this.
Sure.
What's it like having your son in a band that is one? Okay, I know they've toured. Mm-hmm. They've toured across this country. Overseas. They've crossed both oceans, right? They've definitely been to Europe.
I've seen them open for the Goo Goo Dolls, which is a big tour. I Jason Lee and I went to Nashville to see them open for 311. So yes. Yeah, a lot of cool stuff.
I was very close.
They opened for
Kyle invited me to the Austin date on that, and my best friend who has a 311 tattoo on his back.
Oh really?
He had to work that day, and on that day I ended up getting on a comedy show that paid. So I was just like, dude. But we were this close to going to Austin, and seeing him for free because
cool.
he invited me out. But that was really dope. That mm-hmm. I'm like, and I've known about the candidates for as long as I've gotten to know those guys.
Yeah.
But also seeing them like, holy shit, they toured with 311 and opened up for them. So were you like, okay, so is this his like first band?
Like I said, look, I think we gave him his first guitar at 10 and by 12 he was better than me. And there was just something genetically, inherently. Yeah.
You just knew this guy was going to be playing music for the rest of his life. It was inevitable.
Yes.
So you probably had. What I'm curious about is like as a parent, because I've known friends that played music, uh-huh. and they maybe had a parent that was like, "You're not going to go out of town and do this." Like they really were.
Okay.
They might have given them an instrument or two, but they really had a ceiling on what they're going to let them do.
Sure. Okay. Let's just be crystal clear. I'm not the baseball coach that's busting this kid's balls on, you got to practice, pick up a guitar.
Yeah.
Eric Clapton said, you practice an hour and none
of
that.
My man practices for 5 hours every other Saturday.
I'd rather be at the pub.
You're
I don't want to
be doing
here.
10 hours every week, son.
No, I want it to be crystal clear. I was never that guy.
Oh, I never even.
Of course. Here's what's interesting about it. My son, they were signed to Atlantic when he was like 17.
Wow. Yeah.
So they were touring. Like I don't want to speak for him. And I told myself I would
never
do this.
But I want your perspective on
this. Sure, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. But a funny story. My son hates Chicago. And I'm like, Chicago's my favorite city in the history of ever. Why the fuck would you hate Chicago? He's like, because when I was 17, I couldn't go in the bar. They made me sit in the van. And then when it was time to play, they escorted me on stage,
and then
they escorted me right back to the van, and I couldn't even enjoy. So
yeah,
I
how
fun get
can
it.
That be?
I get it. But here's what's interesting: my son, when they were signed to Atlantic, he dropped out of college. He was, I think this is healthy to talk about. He was going to TCC or whatever you call it now. But he was on his way to just doing the normal kid thing. Well, when he got signed and they started touring, we told him, you can always go back to college.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't worry about it. You can always go back. You know, I didn't graduate until I was 28. I was on the 8-year plan like a lot of us were. My wife didn't go back to college. I think she graduated at 32 or something like that. And we've had pretty good careers. But what's funny about Brent is that his buddy started graduating from college. Mm. And he was pissed. He's like, fuck.
The guy's like his age.
His age.
I assume is he like the younger of the
candidates? He is the youngest, but he's almost 30 now, dude. Mm. So they've been doing it a long time. But he was so mad. He's like, man, I knew this was going to happen. All my buddies are graduating from college and I've got nothing. And I'm just fucking stupid ass fucking, you know what I mean? I'm paraphrasing, obviously. But I'm like, Brent, you've seen more of the world than we'll see in a lifetime, you know? So I'm not really sure where I'm going with that. I don't know what you asked me, but yeah, it's fun.
You're supportive. That's probably what, because just kind of what I've seen, thinking of a particular friend who, this really cool like surf thrash band out of Irving, they're called ANS, and it stands for Anti-New School. Anyways, they're going like tour of like the country, maybe like 20 or 30 dates or something. My buddy Richard, great fucking guitar player. He was just this guy that like, out of all my friends' bands that were musicians, they're all punk rockers. They're playing the simplest shit that they can. And I'm speaking out of my ass because I'm not even a musician. But even I can tell they're playing the simplest shit that they can.
And
Richard is over here.
There's nothing wrong with that.
With his always complaining about his mom, but also hanging out with his friends as much as he can. But also, you know that, you know, when he's at home and can have the time to himself, he's fucking mastering guitar. Mm-hmm. Like, he makes guitars to this day. Mm-hmm. This band wanted him to go out on tour with them. And his mom just would not let him. And we could tell that fucking just destroyed him. Even though it's like these guys had gone on tour before. This may or may not have been the tour where they were going to go over to Japan. But I just knew that was like, man, that sucks. You know, that really sucks for him. We felt bad just because it's like, this band deserves that. He deserves that. Mm-hmm. Like, it would just be a great experience for him. But it's always cool to...
I don't know.
Also, signing to Atlantic probably helped.
Well, sure. Yeah. I mean, and that's a thing, you know? I mean, there was a little money involved.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, you know lifetime like this, savings.
It's not like it's not like he's in some kind of grindcore band. Like, we're going to play garages across the country. I can see as a parent, you're kind of like, what?
Yeah.
So you just started wanting to grow dreadlocks, and we're weird about that too. But you know, with the kind of music they play, and you know, the venues are playing, you know, the bands are probably playing with.
Well, let's just all right. I'm going to end with my joke about the unlikely candidates. No, your joke was better when we played. You called us the unlikely candidate dads, which was fucking brilliant. But what I love about the unlikely candidates is I think, and they're going to hate me when I say this. They always do. But in the end, I think their target audience is probably 16-year-old girls.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds crazy. But if that 16-year-old girl goes to one of the concerts, 45-year-old dad's going to take them.
Yeah.
45-year-old dad's going to walk away from that show going, that was a pretty good fucking rock show, man.
Yeah.
What you hear...
It's pop
streaming
rock.
Streaming in what you hear, you know, on the radio. You go to the show, you're like, holy shit, that was amazing. I'm trying to think of an equivalent that I was like, yeah, I'll go to this show, and you're just blown away, you know?
That is a hard bridge to gap. 16-year-old girls, 45-year-old dads, and both people are appeased.
Absolutely.
That is...
No.
Could Blink-182 probably couldn't do that.
To some
degree.
Sure. Yeah.
Did the dad listen to punk? Because he probably need that prerequisite.
Well, who knows? Yeah. My first concert was 1987, Duran Duran at Reunion Arena. My dad took me to that. Did my dad enjoy Duran Duran? Maybe. I don't know. I didn't ask.
Oh, okay.
I was just happy to be there, So,
my first concert, I wish I could say it was, I wish, even though it was my second. But now I remembered seeing Creed. That might have been the third. Okay, anyways.
Creed.
Oh, yeah. I totally saw
That's okay.
Creed.
They're totally cool.
Totally saw Creed live. But what, as best I can remember, I wish I could say that my second concert was my first. I won tickets off the Edge to see the second Family Values tour, which in order from opener to headliner was Primus, Stained, Redman and Method Man, Filter, and the Almighty Limp Bizkit.
I am aware of every one of those bands. That's a solid bill right there.
My best friend gives me shit because I took our other friend, and they live right down the street from each other. We're all just kind of really close friends, but this one guy ended up being like a little weird whatnot later on in life. Anyways, I regret not taking my buddy Anthony. Anyways, but the actual first concert I ever saw, my sister took me to Six Flags, when they used to have concerts.
I remember
I'm not sure how regularly, in their amphitheater, was Jars of Clay.
Jars of Clay, not bad.
Yeah.
No, that was the album name. It was what's the band that was Jars of Clay? Jars of Clay is a band.
Yeah. They're a Christian, light Christian rock band. You know, if I can't swim after 40 days and my mind is crushed by the crashing waves, lift me up. I'm weak and I'm falling. Lift me up. Oh, it was one of the Christian rock songs that you're like, this is catchy. All right. And, you know,
speaking of Christian rock,
if you listen to Stone Temple Pilots at the same time, you're like, all right, this is rock, I think.
Okay. And I saw Striper.
Oh, okay.
To Hell with the Devil at Six Flags.
I won.
No shit.
I think at the beginning of this, like we're talking about chastity, it was like, oh, you do some covers, like you talk about your favorite Poison or Striper albums.
Oh, yeah, right.
But what's funny is I've met, I picked up one of the comics I had at Mass. We can talk about Mass in a moment. This guy, Johnny Taylor Jr., mm-hmm. who regularly opens up for Brian Posehn. He was talking about how he like legit loves, like, I think the first two Striper albums. And he is nowhere near a Christian. Like, but he was just like, those are good fucking albums, man.
Are they? I don't know.
It was just at the time, like, I picked him up from the airport. It was the first time we met. And I just happened to be listening to Alice in Chains at the time. He's just like, oh, shit, yeah, love Alice in Chains. And I knew immediately, we're going to get along. We're going to get along very well. And it ended up being like a great goddamn show.
That's amazing. That's a Kevin Aldridge joke. He's like, hey, what are your thoughts on Guns N' Roses' Appetite for Destruction? Because if you're not a fan, I don't think we could be friends.
Yeah.
I'm like, cool.
So,
Six Flags. I saw Jefferson Airplane there.
Oh, wow.
Now, this is 80s, not 60s. No shit, Brian. They opened and closed the show with We Built This City. And I'm like, who fucking the fuck?
Love that song.
Right? But you don't open and close it. Or maybe you do. I don't know.
Why not? I can see the reasoning. Although I've never seen a band that's played a song twice. Just because
they fucking did it.
And I do love that fucking song. I wish like a really kind of poppy hardcore punk band would cover that, because there's some parts that are just like, or just like you can hear some chanting. Oh yeah, but just hit power chords, dan dan. You know, I jammed that song plenty of times. Hey, there goes the train. All right.
How often does it go by? So often you don't even recognize it. That's Blues Brothers 1980.
When I did an interview with Alan Brown. Mm-hmm. We're in his garage. This was still, people were being kind of very, still wary of COVID and whatnot, but we did a podcast in his garage. It's kind of a rainy day, but we're in his garage. So there's like this rain ambient sound in the background. So I listened back to it. I was like, this works. Well, thank God, because I can't, I'd have to record a new podcast.
I actually think Brenton's here in his control room. Oh, cool. Just rocking. So you may hear that in the background.
Oh, no, I heard some music earlier, but I'm like, I think that's who gives a shit.
Yeah. Yeah, the trains. Yeah, that happens. We're in the hood.
But obviously you're via Meg, part of chat room. What do you call it? This neighborhood. You could call it. This neighborhood has a thing where there's. I had three names you could rotate between, but then talking to someone, I found out a fourth of this neighborhood. You have Fairmount.
Mm-hmm.
Near Southside.
Sure.
Or you could just call it Magnolia, mm-hmm. which is the main street, no pun intended, with actual Main Street, mm-hmm. which is the next thing. Or the Medical District, which is not the sexiest name.
But
before all this, I could see why it was called the Medical District. You have two hospitals.
Hospital here. District as well.
Yeah, okay.
Entertainment. Oh. Yeah. Megan Henderson told me not to use that anymore.
Medical District?
Medical District.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I
love
denotes,
her death, but who gives a shit what she says?
That denotes, you know, nothing of I want to go there. People are forced to go to the medical district because they have appointments or emergencies.
It's like a Denny's. You don't go there, you end up there. Yes, so to your point, we don't want to call it that.
What do you prefer? What name do you prefer that you think encompasses or denotes the whole vibe? I hate saying that, but it makes too much sense these days.
To be quite honest,
attitude.
When I talk about where I live, it's Fairmount. I'm like, Fairmount. It's always south of downtown.
Yeah,
you know. But
what sucks when you say south of downtown? People don't think immediately. Literally on the other side of I-30. That's the neighborhood you're talking about. They think south of downtown.
Burleson
towards 20 like that. And when you say south, people automatically jump like 10 miles
that's
something.
That's a good question. I mean.
Because it's always been a little confusing.
Are we to the point now with the fucking metal? That fucking had a negative connotation. I'm not saying that at all. But with Melt and Heim and the Wine Bar and Grand Cru and Spiral. Spiral's huge, you know? And Benito's, again. Can't you just say Magnolia and everybody knows now?
Yeah.
Or am I? You think? I don't know. I don't
believe so, because that's where, you know.
Near South is what Near Southside Inc. is promoting.
Okay.
And that's Megan's group, the nonprofit that does Arts Goggle and Open Streets. I don't know.
Okay. Just kind of floats between. At least those three.
Sure.
Fairmount, which has the signs of the Fairmount Historic Neighborhood.
Sure. Yep.
That's official. Near Southside, the nonprofit that's promoting this neighborhood. And then Magnolia. They all make sense, but it's also a little convoluted because you hope. You got a burp or something, just let it fly. I don't give a shit. And
this Coca-Cola. What sucks is that
they all make sense, and as long as you're just willing to say a few more words, you can. People might know eventually. Magnolia, huh? Fairmount, no, near Southside. Oh, okay, because they've driven by something that said that.
Maybe, I guess. I don't know. I mean,
because it's like you have Deep Elm, and you know exactly Greenville. Yeah,
you're not. Bam. You're not wrong on this.
Greenville's the street. Deep Elm's the neighborhood. But also trying to get people to come to comedy shows for years in this area, you could say Magnolia, but it's on Main. You could say near Southside.
And that's from
because then Southside, the zoo Southside all the means way something to else.
North Main, yeah. Right? Yeah. I haven't thought about it. I don't know. I really don't care. We're just kind of.
So you haven't marketed towards.
I'm not
individuals.
I took marketing in college and failed. It's more of a science. I thought it was science. I'm like, oh, there's science. I'm like, there's no science in marketing. I'm like, all right, I don't know.
Sadly, there is. It's called propaganda. We have Edward Bernays to think for that shit.
Oh, I love it.
So how did Mass come to? I know like a little bit. Mass, sure. AKA Maine at Southside.
Sure. Yeah.
Rest in peace as of September 2022.
Mm-hmm.
What went on for about five years.
Five years.
And I got clued into that while I was out working in the neighborhood, the Fairmount near Southside Medical District, Magnolia Hospital District neighborhood. And someone was telling me about Mass being a thing and they want to do comedy there. And I think eventually, like talking to you at some point, this neighborhood, you know, is full of like, again, one of those names I just hate saying, creatives. Which is true. It's like saying vibe. It makes too much sense to say.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I'll
artistic,
let you get back.
Dude, creative people.
Absolutely. No. Look, don't cancel me for this, but you follow the artists. Where the new biggest thing, you follow the artists and you follow the gays.
Yeah.
And I mean, and again, I may get canceled, so whatever, but it's true.
Yeah.
The artists are going to take you to something that no one else sees value in, and they're going to turn it into this amazing thing. Sorry to interrupt.
No.
Go on. Mass. Yes.
Yeah. So this neighborhood, like talking to people and how, you know, I don't want to say underdeveloped, but just how there was chat room, like maybe, I'm not sure I'm bowled out. There was like two bars.
Yeah.
And then some restaurants.
Finn McCool's was quick after us too. So yeah.
Yep. It wasn't like a destination street. Mm-hmm. Again, kids skateboarding, mm-hmm. you know, willy-nilly, not that much traffic. And then it slowly became this neighborhood that I've, like, in my small amount of travels, like, I think, like, Memphis has, you know, again, city steeped in history. But you could tell you're in a neighborhood, and you're like, oh, this neighborhood has some history. There's something to it. You see the style, the architecture, the kind of businesses that there are. And you drive down Main Street, you can see that. And what I've gathered, like there are plenty of musicians that lived in this area. They may have practiced in this area wherever they could, some whatever house, you know. But there wasn't a venue. They may have been able to jam, you know, not play, but like wedge themselves into the chat room, which I know bands had
of
played
course,
there before.
And before Chat Rooms Club Nowhere, so that was kind of a live venue. But again, chat's not a live,
yeah,
you know. And then I think the old, what's the...
Hey,
there were King Tut. That, I think that used to be something like a live venue in the '90s. But go on, yeah.
So what I've gather from all that, there's just all these people in bands that live, work, and hang out in this neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And then I think it was you and how many other people decided to
come
together?
I think
there
were nine others. And, okay. I mean, do you think I can name
good luck. We'll just say you and nine others.
Sure. And I was not... I think we all collectively had an idea. And we're like, and I don't mean to embarrass anyone or throw financials out there, but quite simply, I think we all threw in $5,000. Mm. So we had a $50,000 budget and we put it all together, you know? And I'm incredibly proud of that place. I mean, I don't know that you were in the bar that it was before we created
Nas. I didn't know what it was before.
My elbows and my shoulders will never work again. We scraped so much glass off the wall and paint and just drilling, and everything hurts now because we did a lot of work. We worked really hard on that. Really proud of it. I'm curious to see what the Skata turns out to be, but I was super proud of it, man. And then what's interesting is I think we all kind of had the idea of a live music venue, but then this dude I know named Brian Breckenridge shows up, and we're like, well, what about comedy shows? And that was cool, you know? And I just thought it had the right vibe. I'm incredibly proud of what it was. I'm incredibly proud of what you did with it. Incredibly proud of all the bands that showed up. You know, I think I'm using this correctly.
The shirt I'm wearing now is a band that played there on a Tuesday.
There you go.
I popped in there for I don't know what reason.
Yeah.
And the shirt, it's a baseball tee. It was, the band's called Book of Worms. Mm-hmm. They're like a Black Sabbath, female fronted Black Sabbath-y stoner metal band out of Virginia, I believe. And I was like, oh, they got a baseball tee. Oh, it's $15. That's a steal. But I just bought, a drink at the bar with cash. So I only had $14 cash on me, but I wasn't about to give them 14 cash. I had change in the car. I went and got $3 in quarters. And I was like, I feel like a piece of shit if I gave you 14 cash and a dollar in quarters. So here's $3 in quarters and 14 cash. Can I get the baseball tee and a large? And they're like, yeah, sure. Things. I'm like, I dig your shit. It was a Tuesday show. Not too many people out, but I fucking loved what I heard. And also, you know, just the shirt, which has a Lovecraftian horror type thing. And then a pyramid. Skull, tentacles, and a pyramid. You got me.
Yeah.
Slap that on a shirt, and your name's Book of Worms, W-Y-R-M-S.
And it's a baseball tee.
And it's a baseball
tee. And? Yeah.
Yeah, then...
15?
You deserve more than 15. And here's some quarters if you need to air up your tires.
But, which they probably... is a touring band. They probably needed the quarters.
And it was such, like... It was a rad place to go. Very centrally located in this neighborhood, which is why I end up doing. I the official count I'm gonna say is about 55 comedy shows there. I know I had to
that's
charge
a big number, man.
I only had to charge a cover 5 times.
That's a big number. That's pretty cool.
Alan was receptive because he's got the background in music, but he's like, I don't know about booking comedy. And I'm just like, I technically know more than you.
Yeah.
I haven't done it at a place as nice as this.
Well, that's what you told Alan. You're like, you don't have to know anything because I do know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, and he worked with me the deal of how to get comics paid, and I could convince comics coming through because I only booked touring headliners.
Mm-hmm.
That way I didn't want to start. There probably wasn't going to be any drama. I just preferred booking touring headliners because that way I'm like, that's who's touring, that's headlining. Also, they would be vetted enough to that they could headline a show. You know, it's like, hey, so, if they said like so-and-so referred me to you, that was easy. That's as easy as it was. I'm like, oh, I know they're a headliner. They probably had an album or something out, but you know, who knows? And so, ooh, that's a big train.
Big train.
Yeah.
The Amtraks are fast. They'll go, whoo, and they're done.
Oh, there we go. Okay. Well, kind of. Anyways.
Yeah.
But that's why I just like sticking with touring headliners because I'm like, well, that's all. I just stick to that and then fill up the rest.
I don't know how you guys do it. I mean, stand-up comedy is one of those things that I couldn't get through it. I couldn't do 90 seconds of it. And how I saw you and Addison do 45 minutes not too long ago, and I'm like, dude, how did this fucking guy do this? It's Great show, by the way. Oh, well thanks. Done.
That was nerve-wracking, I'll say.
That was great.
Oh, thank you. It was just, I put all my eggs in one, like, I that was the most I've invited people to a show ever. One, because I get the headline of a show at the Addison mm-hmm. Improv. It's like, all right, well, this is when you do that. This mm-hmm. is when you invite everyone you know.
No, it was great. I mean, the drive to Addison was the drive to Addison. But look, the food was great. The environment was incredible. The openers were great. I mean, I had a wonderful time. It was fun. Right. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, no problem. So
Mass. Yeah. Bummer that it had to close.
Yeah.
But look, the bottom line is, man, COVID. Oh, COVID fucked a lot of things.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and I know that's a very broad statement, but look, I've had a couple of friends my age. I mean, in 50s old, I get it. My joke is, hey, there's an older gentleman over here. Someone's talking to me. And I'm like, is he old like me old or old old, mm-hmm. you know? But I had a couple of buddies die because they lost their jobs and alcohol took over their life. You know, I mean, it messed with us in so many ways. Yeah, yeah. And then even the business side, and I'm a lifelong Democrat. I tend to normally trust what the government's telling me. And this is not about a shot or anything. But the fact that they provided, and Trump was president at the time. So, I mean, let's be clear about what I'm saying. But the fact that Paycheck Protection was provided and they had these EIDL SBA loans, which were incredibly affordable, you know, 30 years at 3.5%. The government really did try to help, but man, live music, you couldn't recover.
Yeah.
Because even when things kind of got back to normal, people were still getting sick, and all of a sudden, bands would cancel on us. Like,
yeah. I remember
that. We're 4 hours away, and we're all sick. We just can't make, you know, we can't do the show. So it's unfortunate. I think it had a good run. I'm really bummed that it didn't go longer, but. You know, I think in the end, there's a lot of great memories from that place, you know?
Absolutely.
We're at Bojo, and I got the Mass Moon staged right over there. I don't even know what to do. It's in the other room, but what do I do with it? I'm thinking about kind of putting it together on the ceiling at the chat room. Would that be cool? I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows?
As long as it stays up there.
Yeah.
Like, even in good time, pre-COVID, good economic times. It's such a volatile business, having a music venue.
Never do it. I would never do it again.
Oh, I don't blame you.
How, you know, and I'm rooting for Tulips and Tannehill's and, oh, good God, what's the other one on Ray Street? Post. Obviously, Lola's right down the street here. Pharrella, I don't know how he does it. No, I would never do it again. Ever. Ever.
And you had a lot of people, and you weren't even like the main guy. Like
we took a gamble.
You're
man.
One of 10 owners.
Yeah, we took a gamble. It's just hard. It's. I think I'm using this word correctly. It's a symbiotic relationship between the venue and the artists. Mm. One doesn't exist without the other, and if those two start colliding, well, fuck you. You didn't pay me enough. Well, fuck you. You didn't bring enough people through the door.
Yeah.
Then we're all gonna fail, you know. And I'm not saying that's what's happened or what happened with Mass. What I'm saying is the bottom line: COVID fucked us. I think in the end,
it destroyed any momentum you have.
Oh, of course.
And it kept literally bands off the road because of. Even if places were open, you also had bands like, hey, we all just got sick.
And then, and then even if we could open and we're half capacity and you got to wear a mask and you can take it off and that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I know it. None of it made any sense. And I think you would agree with me. Looking back on it now, it was all really pretty stupid.
Yeah.
But we didn't have the information. We were trusting what they were telling us.
And doing what you're allowed to do.
Sure, yeah. We're selling fucking gas station sandwiches out of it. You know, I mean, it was so dumb.
Oh, yeah. You could open your bar if you sold. There are bars that are like, hey, we can heat up this pizza.
They're giving away food. I've never bought so many goddamn air fryers in my life. Just throw it in an air fryer and just serve it for $2. Yeah, that was crazy.
We're now we're now a restaurant too. Or yeah, we can sell food, so now we can have the exact same operation.
And then they had the drinks to go bullshit. I mean, what, this isn't fucking New Orleans? I mean, oh man. I swear to God, I'm gonna write a, we should get together, all of us, all who went through with this, and write a coffee table book and go, let me tell you how stupid COVID was. And not only the virus, but just the shit we had to go through. And by the way, applying for all these government grants or it was the most ridiculous thing. I mean, you had to really have your shit together to get funds. I mean, you had to go back to 941s and 1099s and W. I mean, good grief! It was what a mess. Sorry, I've done it again. I've hijacked your.
What a mess for mass.
Right.
Ah.
But thanks for bringing it up, man. I think it's healthy. Again, I know I use that often, but it's healthy to talk about.
Yeah.
Met a lot of great people, saw great comedians, saw great bands, you know, things we'd never see if we didn't do something like that.
Right in your own backyard.
Absolutely. Yeah. That was fun.
As convenient as
you could. Good run.
But still, it made all the sense in the world. When I knew, I was like, a music venue here. Yes, that's exactly what this neighborhood needs.
Well, let's see how Tyler does. I mean... Yeah. With Cicada, I mean, I wish her the best. I would never go into the business ever again.
Then yeah, and if you don't have like a millionaire fronting all the funds to keep you afloat, then that's probably or a sugar daddy of some kind. But there's got to be music venues out there that have like, oh, this a millionaire, you know.
There has to be.
I don't know.
You know, like, I'm not going to point the finger and go, well, you.
Oh, there's something like when a
fucking trust fund
place
baby
in Dallas. I remember it was a Mark Cuban. Was, you know, it's called like Echo Lounge or something. I think that sounds he's familiar. Involved. So that place will always be open because he's a billionaire.
Yeah.
So I remember there's a show there in May of 2020 I went to see with Against Me and Baroness. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's going to be a sweet show. It obviously got canceled. And that venue I've still never been to, just, and I think it finally got back to operating. But also I think, you know, if you got a billionaire sugar daddy behind it, you'll be fine forever.
Well, I mean, we forget how much $1 billion is. I mean, good God, you know, 10,000, let's say rent's 10,000. I'm making all these up, but you know, rent's $10,000. Oh, I got your $10,000. I mean, it's a parking ticket to somebody.
Yeah.
So not even that, probably.
But when you have 10 actual regular human beings behind, even that.
Well, we had fun. We had some laughs.
I know, that's what you do it for.
Uh-huh. So,
it's like with comics. Like you drive 3 hours out of your way to do a show. You're like, I hope it's great. Or, okay, if anything, maybe I got a story out of it. But, you know, everyone thanks you for what you did just because it allowed us to see music. This close, like.
And I appreciate those words. Those are kind words, but no, it was not me. I mean, look, it took an army. It
the
really,
royal
the yes, absolutely, yes. Sorry, I took that compliment.
Oh, that's fine. Hey, where are they at? Not here. So whatever. Just over an hour.
I didn't think I had an hour in me.
Dude, I've done some 2.5 hour ones.
Really?
Those usually have a lot of like alcohol involved and maybe a pee break here and there. Which I usually, since I'm scaling these back, I don't need to do this too much. But I meant to, because it's always kind of funny. Where are they at? I got a stack of Post-it notes in my backpack. Just regular yellow Post-it notes. So I tell people, and you'll get this joke. I leave it here, and I'm like, hey, during it, don't say it. But if you need to go to the bathroom, just hold up the Post-it notes because it's a yellow card. Okay. See, there you go. I know you'd like that.
And we're back to soccer.
No, we're not. I don't care. No. I appreciate the fan. Speaking of bars around here, well, you have Upper 90.
Absolutely.
Which is, you know, obviously, well, not obvious. It's a sports bar. Great name for a sports bar.
Absolutely. That's Ryan Higgs. That's his bit. Yep. He named it. Absolutely. Upper 90 is a soccer term.
Exactly. Yeah. Which I didn't know at first. Just took asking someone to find that out. Mm-hmm. But also it's, you know, with your soccer mega fans, the ones that wake up God knows how early in the morning to watch a game.
It's crazy, isn't it?
In the old world.
Yeah.
And I asked, I was like, so you have this bar. And I know bartenders, they're night owls. I was like, who the fuck do you get to bartend, to open up a bar at like 6 or 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. And I asked, and they're like, oh, we got a bartender here that loves watching those games. I was like, oh, that makes all the sense in the mm-hmm. world. Like, oh, so he gets to watch this game and make money at the same time. Mm-hmm. He probably can't get as drunk as these guys, but also getting that, drinking any amount of alcohol that early in the morning? No.
No way, man.
No, thanks.
Well, I mean,
that's why we can record things and watch them at our own leisure.
Cocaine probably helps.
Oh, yeah. If you just want to.
I'm kidding. I just.
Make a night and a morning out of it.
Why not?
Jesus.
Can you imagine? Dude, we're too old for that.
Like, I'm not even getting up. Oh. I'm not even staying up late watching the World Baseball Classic games. And
where are those games? Are they in the UK?
So no. Without, I didn't looking this up. Just what I'm seeing, there's, I think some are playing in the Marlins Stadium in Miami.
Okay.
Others are in the Diamondbacks field in Phoenix, wherever the fuck, Arizona.
So, yeah, it used to be called.
But then there's some in Japan and maybe South Korea. Because that's where those teams are playing.
Gotcha.
Because you, and then eventually, I'm not sure where they're going to consolidate, maybe in the States or something like
somewhere
that.
Somewhere in the middle of the Atlantic.
But those are the late night games. The Pacific. Games.
I'm sorry if they're, sorry, got my oceans mixed up. Build a
field
in
Hawaii, they can meet halfway.
There you go. That's halfway. See the Great Britain uniforms?
Oh, yeah, those are garbage. Hot garbage. And some of them are so fun. And
well, Mexico's, those are great. Mm. I love those.
I like the Venezuela ones myself.
Yep, yep.
Also, Martin Perez, Texas Rangers, playing for
nice,
him. So.
Nice.
And doing pretty well.
Yeah, I think I already said this, but the older I become, the less of a sports fan I become. And I know that's weird. Like, I can name 12 players from the 1987 MISL-winning Dallas Sidekicks team. I could probably name more Texas Rangers from the 1987 team than I can their current team. And and that's just... It's weird, man. It's weird how the older you get, you become less interested in certain things. Mm. Does that happen to you yet?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, I like bands. Just because in my late teens, early 20s, I would buy, I would waste every paycheck on CDs, have a massive CD collection. And that was just from downloading an MP3 from a record label website. And then kind of compiling my own CDRs and eventually finding, I'd buy a lot, plenty of used CDs because I could buy more if I did it that way.
With the little notch in them that they cut?
Oh, yeah. And then I had the time, though, because, you know, I was trying to, you know, maybe going to college here and there and figuring out what I wanted to do. And I just had time in life to listen to all these bands. And the older I get, the more you just kind of stick with what you know you already like. And if something new comes out by a band you already know you love, and then you introduce that into the rotation, or maybe you don't like that too much, so you just stick with what you know and what you like, because the older you get, the more you got to prioritize things.
You're kind of set in your ways as well.
Yeah, now, which is just the nature of
things. And look, I'm an idiot. Like, every time Weezer releases an album, I'm like, oh, it's Weezer, I got to go buy it. And then I'm like, what the fuck did I do? I should have known after Beverly Hills I was done with that fucking band. But you can't deny how great the Blue Album was and how great, what was next? Oh, Pinkerton, obviously. Oh, yeah, Pinkerton. Yeah, yeah. Pinkerton. And even the Green Album, the 35 minutes of the Green Album, to me, was brilliant. There's nothing but catchy pop songs with zero fat on them, you know? And then it goes on and on and on and on. And then at some point, Beverly Hills came out, and you're like, yeah, I don't. Well, why am I still doing this?
Yeah, you can go to Beverly Hills, guys. I'm not going with that. No, I'm out. Yeah, it's one. Or you're at the bar. You're like, God damn it. Who paid to play this?
You know Sean Russell's bit at the chat.
What is he? I know he drives by app.
He plays Nickelback.
There you go.
Photograph. Is that the name of it?
Yeah. It's a great. Hey, if you got the credits, then go right ahead. If I ever do that, credits. It's rare that I do it these days. There's a couple of very long metal songs that are available on those things, and there's one particularly this band, very proggy extreme metal band, extreme at times, called Between the Buried and Me. Mm-hmm. They have this album called Colors. The last track on that's called White Walls, and it is a rip. It rips. For 15 fucking minutes.
There you go.
So it is worth every penny.
Absolutely. $2. You got 15 minutes. Yeah.
I remember when they were $1.
Well, there's two. Who's the Marquee Moon? Television. Am I wrong on this television?
70s? Yeah, Marquee Moon. I know very little about that band, but I know they.
But that song, goes forever. Another one is Green Day. The first song off American Idiot, I think. Something about a boulevard. That thing goes for 12 minutes.
Oh, Boulevard of Broken Dreams.
Maybe I'm wrong on that. I you're right. I'm wrong.
I know I don't listen to it.
There's a song goes for 12 minutes. Yeah, that's the bit, man. I think.
But that's how I fuck with people. I'm just like, I'm not going to pay $2 for like a 3-minute song.
And then you
I'm
got pay. You got fucking Mark Maughan coming in and just playing scat jazz. All, and you're like, God damn, somebody skip this shit. Sorry. And maybe you're a fan. I don't know.
No, I've owned one jazz album. That was Straight No Chaser by Thelonious Monk.
Okay.
Which is probably the most popular jazz album of all time. Never, I didn't dive deep.
Never heard of it.
If there's a jazz guy, I can name you him. I can name you Thelonious Monk because you hear that name and you don't forget it.
I know Louis Armstrong. That's about all I know, I guess.
Oh, yeah. He is jazz, too. Yeah. Anyways. Oh, man. All right. I think...
You want to call it a day?
Let's call it, man.
You want to call it a day, have a shot of Jägermeister and a cigarette and...
I could do that.
Go do whatever we do?
Yeah. Been a while since I've shoot Jaeger, but it's definitely in that time frame.
Thanks for having me, man. This was so much fun. I told you I was super nervous because, I mean, why the fuck would you want to talk to me?
Well, for the last the last hour and 10 minutes okay. is reason enough, man. Because it's what I've loved about the concept of podcast. Well, interview podcast,
sure,
or people talking. Because if we couldn't do this at the chat.
Nope.
Because there's other people around.
Hey, man, what are you doing? No,
I'm talking about just having a conversation.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Well, here's the problem with the chat in every other bar. No matter what you're doing, some asshole is going to come up to you and tell you how you're doing it wrong. Dude, I've been on a ladder changing a fucking light bulb and some regular's behind me. Hey, man, you're doing it wrong. Fuck you.
Hey, don't y'all need video cameras? I can't afford that now. And no, I don't want to deal with that. If that's one thing I hate about podcasts these days is they all have video components to them, which I understand completely why. I get it. But that's not the reason I listen to podcasts. Mm-hmm. I'll watch a clip if it comes up on one of my YouTube shorts or TikTok feed.
Yeah.
But I like podcasts because it's two people having a conversation, with an uninterrupted conversation.
You're absolutely right.
That hopefully has an organic flow to it.
We've had... dozens, if not hundreds, of conversations at the chat room.
Yeah.
But they're all quick. Boom,
truncated.
Boom, 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 boom. Yep. Well, okay.
Time constraints.
Hey, good to see you. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, this was fun, man. Thanks. Yeah. You're fucking great at this. I love it.
It's a lot of fun. And I like having conversations with people. I just get it in such small doses with, one, talking to the people I like talking to, because sometimes you got to resort to who's there. But with this, I get to choose. But also, it's understood that, you know, was that Brent that came in earlier?
Yeah. Oh, I don't even know. I didn't even see.
Yeah. I just went, hey. Yeah. And, you know, but yeah. I thought I saw some. No, we don't have long hair. Anyway, maybe. Anyways, that's what I've always enjoyed about podcasts. That's why I you know, want to get this going so I can have uninterrupted conversations with people I like
absolutely.
Talking to.
Absolutely. And the thing with the bar, and again, we're just kind of contradicting ourselves because we're like, oh, yeah, what's great about the chat room is you just have a conversation, you know. But, you know, and here's what's difficult for you, too. You're kind of a celebrity and... people want to talk about your work, and you're like, man, I'm not here to talk about work.
Or nobody like, hey, does that, but thank you. I
do it all the time.
I can go into bars all the time. Nobody says a word to me.
Dude, I do it all the time. You know I do.
I do hope that doing these podcasts, I do become that celebrity, and then I can't go to places, or I get access to other places that I have been allowed to. No, this is as a comic, this just feels like what you have to do. But because of the way my life has gone. I've met people that I want to have on this podcast who aren't comedians, but there are comedians I want to talk to as well.
Well, I appreciate the invite. I mean, you're, it's very good. It's very you're great on stage. I think this has been wonderful. You're very good.
Let me hit pause before you start sucking my dick.
it's a very talk show host thing. I mean, it's very difficult to do. I mean, who can keep an hour and a half going, you know, just by kind of shooting the shit. So, good job. Well done.
Thanks, Matt. All right. Yeah, let's have that shot of Jaeger.
All right.
Smoke that cig.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you, John. This has been another episode of the Brecking Podcast. Like, share, subscribe, or whatever. I don't care.